Rebecca Stokes, and welcome to Strategy Bites. I am the co-founder of Oaktree Talent Group, a specialist strategy and transformation recruitment agency. Strategy Bites is a compilation of career stories and insights from the market's most experienced executives. Many have gained their strategy toolkit from management consulting. In each episode, we ask the best of the industry's talent to share the highs and lows of their careers and the best bits of advice they've ever been given. They will give us a glimpse of what their day-to-day lives look like now, warts and all. Our aim is to give inspiration to the ambitious strategists out there and give them an understanding of what is possible. In each episode, we will ask guests for a read, watch, or listen to recommendation and a quote or value that they live their lives by. Wendy is a managing director of Pollination, and she was previously a managing director and partner at BCG's Sydney office. Wendy worked in financial services and insurance, but also led BCG's social impact, climate and sustainability work in Australia and New Zealand. So Wendy, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. The reason I was so keen to get you on is that we are constantly being asked by our candidates for opportunities in ESG, sustainability, and given you led BCG's social impact, climate and sustainability work and are now MD of Pollination, I felt you would be the perfect person to talk about this with me.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So firstly, for those that don't know you, can you give me a bit of overview of where you've been, what you've done to date?
Yeah. So the short version of this is that my background combines corporate strategy and sustainability with most of my work in financial services and property. But the longer version is that I did a bachelor's degree in urban planning. And as part of that degree, we did a year of work experience. And so I spent a year working at ERM, which is the largest pure play sustainability consulting firm. And I stayed on at ERM after I graduated. And after a little while there, I decided it was time to travel the world. And as part of my travels, I ended up doing a Master of Science degree in Sweden. And that degree was really focused on incorporating social and environmental considerations into business. And my master's thesis was on what is now termed circular economy. I actually came back to Australia because the Olympics were being held in Sydney, and I thought it was the only time in my lifetime that I'd be able to see the Olympics in my hometown. So I came back to Sydney and I ended up staying here and helping to build the Australian business of another environmental consulting firm, which was then called Environ and is now part of the Ramboll Group, which is a really large global firm. And so I was part of the team that built that business in Australia. And the experience in Sweden and in building Environ really made me really interested in more mainstream business. And so I decided to do an MBA with a view to getting a job in management consulting after that. And I was really fortunate to get a job as a consultant at BCG. And like all good consultants who join firms post-MBA, I did work across a whole range of different sectors, but probably half of my work at the time there was in finance. Financial services and insurance. And I'm a little bit of an opportunist at heart, and one of my very favourite partners moved from BCG to Stockland, which is a large Australian property company. And so I decided to follow him across and join Stockland's group strategy and M&A team. I ended up staying at Stockland for 8 years and ultimately moved into senior roles in strategy and capital transactions. So after 8 years and after some leadership changes at Stockland, I decided it was time for something new again. And I ended up back at BCG in the financial insurance practice area at BCG. I was promoted to partner in 2019. And the following year, I had the opportunity to take on the role as lead of social impact, climate and sustainability in Australia and New Zealand. So I did that for a little while. And then again, I decided in 2022 to take a little bit of a risk and join Pollination. Pollination is a relatively new organisation that's really focused on driving investment into decarbonisation and nature. So that's what I'm doing now. I also do a few other things on the side. So I'm on the board of a group called Footy for Climate, which is a bunch of really impressive AFL players who are using their platform to inspire action on climate. And I'm also on the board of the commercialization entity of the Digital Finance Cooperative Research Centre.
Wow. Quite a lot then.
Keeps me busy.
We were chatting about this before, and I loved your thoughts on it. Obviously, ESG is a term that's widely used. What does it mean to you?
Well, I guess I should just say, for those who aren't familiar with it, ESG stands for Environment, Social and Governance. And really the idea behind it is more explicitly taking into account non-financial factors that may not have typically been taken into account in decision-making. So the E covers things like decarbonisation, resilience to a changing climate, nature, water quality, air quality, and all the things that come under that. Social issues can be anything from modern slavery to First Nations to diversity and inclusion. And then governance is a lot of factors around actually how you manage some of these factors, but it can also capture everything from cybersecurity and data privacy as well. So it's really broad, different people use it in different ways. And I think it's what's really important is that there's a lot of effort that goes into disclosure in relation to ESG, but fundamentally it should be about how do you think about how these things affect you and your organization, but also the impact and the legacy that you're leaving as well.
Yeah. And obviously you've been passionate about this space more broadly for a very, very long time. And obviously before you even went into consulting, or, you know, obviously it was a passion area for you. What pulled you into, I mean, you said you did an MBA with a view to going into consulting, which is great. You obviously had a very clear direction. So what was the idea about why did you want to go into consulting in the first place?
Yeah, so the transition from Europe, which is quite progressive, particularly on environmental and social issues, back to Australia was a little bit of a shock, to be honest. And while it was really fun helping to build the Environ business, a lot of the work was actually relatively kind of low level and compliance focused work. And I just found that a little bit frustrating. I really wanted to be more at the heart of what businesses were doing and strategic questions that they were asking. So that's really ultimately what drove me into consulting in the first place.
And then BCG, obviously that was more financial services you mentioned. So how was that transition?
Well, I think as any consultant will tell you, and I'm sure many have over the years, like it's the first couple of years in consulting is incredibly intense learning experience. You know, you learn so much about core consulting skills, but you also are exposed to questions that you've never been exposed to before. So I think, I guess my general reflection on it was an incredibly rewarding experience, but also quite a lot of hard work at the same time.
And did you miss, obviously, the environmental work that you were doing?
Well, I did in a way. I mean, I've always been very passionate about it, but the way that I thought about that in my own mind was that I would always have that passion and I'd find ways, if I wasn't addressing that within my work, I'd find ways beyond my work to think about it. And actually, when it became a CEO topic, you know, that suddenly all the consulting firms were interested in, it was like my whole life had come full circle, actually. I think it's a really interesting moment that we're in at the moment where actually this should have been on the agenda decades ago, but at least it is now. And, you know, we have to move quickly so that we can do the things that we need to do.
And obviously you left BCG the first time around and you said you joined Stockland, so corporate role. So how was that? Can you talk me through that experience going from BCG into a corporate?
Yeah, I'd highly recommend this experience to consultants because I think it actually ultimately makes you a better consultant. So as I said, I started in the group strategy and M&A team and I had the fantastic experience of effectively being a consultant in-house, which meant that you had a little bit more control over deadlines, you had a little bit more control over resourcing and a little bit less travel. But we had a really fantastic team working on really interesting questions, both transactions as well as business unit strategy and group level strategy. So that was really fantastic and then opened up doors for me in terms of line management roles as well as senior group roles as well. I think working in-house, you actually learn a lot about how decisions are made and you learn a lot about how to think about the practicality of the things that you're recommending and actually what it means to implement that as well.
So what do you think the biggest difference is working in a corporate in strategy versus working somewhere like BCG in strategy?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is that you get to see things from start to finish. So from idea to execution, which you sometimes get to see in consulting, but not always. But that's just part of being in the corporate world. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that when you're in a consulting firm, you're basically surrounded by incredibly smart, driven people who have a common language and a common way of working. And so it's relatively quick to get a lot done. And obviously in a corporate, you have much more diversity of background and experience and ways of working. And so you just need to find different models of actually making that work. So that's the second thing. And I think the other thing that I've reflected on over time, I think consulting firms are just really incredible because basically people believe that you can do anything until you prove that you can't. And so it's sort of expected that over your career in consulting, you'll cover a whole range of different topics, different industries, different types of roles. Whereas in corporates, sometimes you find corporates like that, but often it's actually about the experience and proven delivery. So I guess that's another consideration for the corporate versus consulting world.
Yeah, I think you're right. We get asked a lot by candidates wanting to leave consulting. One of the big reasons is they want to see the impact of the work, see it right through. And I also agree that, you know, obviously having the runs on the board in a business is very different from having runs on a board in consulting in terms of the stakeholders you need to influence. You're not wearing a consulting badge anymore. It's a lot harder to influence them. So what drove you back to BCG? What was the sort of catalyst for that?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, I was looking for something new and I'd actually kept in touch with a lot of people from BCG. So they were sort of giving me advice on different things that they saw happening in the market. And then through one of those conversations, they said, actually, why don't you just come back? You know, and it was, I've always loved BCG. It felt like a second home to me. And so I was really excited actually about the opportunity to apply not just my consulting skills, but what I'd learned in-house actually in a corporate context as well. So it took me a little while to, you know, to reacquaint myself with how the consulting world had moved on in the 8 years that since I'd been there, but it was just a fantastic experience to come back again.
8 years is quite a while. Did it feel the same when you went back? Well, I mean, obviously you went in at a different level, but did it feel the same?
So it was the same in terms of the culture and the people and the types of work. I think it was incredibly motivating to see what had changed because we had a data analytics team, we had digital ventures. So just the whole digital world had moved on a lot. And I was so excited by that and actually did a lot of work in my second stint at BCG, bringing together traditional consulting with some of those newer areas, which I really loved.
Mm. And was it with some of the people that are still the same? Obviously, you
yes,
had
lots of the people are still the same. I mean, yeah, I used to laugh. I was, I think, probably one of the longest to get from project leader to principal because that took me 8 years. You know, and when I came back, there were people who had been associates when I'd first joined BCG who were partners.
Well, that must have been strange.
But I let go. I mean, if I was in a rut, I would have had an entirely different career trajectory. For me, it's more about having interesting experiences, actually.
Yeah. And your second stint at BCG was just over 6 years. And it sounds like you had a split role focused both on financial services again, financial services clients, but also then later on social impact, climate and sustainability. So how did that work?
Yeah, so my core role was in financial services and insurance. So I did, you know, the traditional consulting work there. And as I mentioned before, just in the last sort of 18 months, 2 years that I was at BCG, I had the opportunity to lead social impact. We had an existing social impact practice, but then also to help build a climate and sustainability practice. So I guess in practice, I continued doing my standard work, but also added some new things onto that in terms of building that practice out, which I found incredibly motivating. It was about the same time as we had the Black Summer bushfires. And I felt like it was a really practical thing for me to do. I also have two girls and the oldest one in particular is really anxious about climate change. So she'd be saying things to me like, so what, why are you adults destroying the world before I can even vote? And what are you doing about it, Mum? Like, what's your job? So it actually also gave me a way to feel like I was, you know, doing good through my job as well.
Wow, that's a guilt trip.
It's key stakeholder pressure. Yeah.
So what types of projects were you working on at BCG in that practice, in the social impact, climate and sustainability piece?
Yeah. So the social impact practice, so BCG sets aside a certain amount of its capacity every year to work on pro bono and low bono projects with not-for-profit organisations. And that included organisations with whom BCG has a long history, including WWF, Save the Children and Teach for Australia, amongst others. And the sort of work that we did there actually was not dissimilar to work that we did with for-profit clients. It was things around strategy and innovation, around business model and about operating model. So it was those kinds of topics just applied in a different context. In terms of climate and sustainability, probably unsurprisingly, there was a lot of work around energy transition and how to navigate that for different organisations. And then two other examples that I was personally involved in that are public so I can talk about them. One is we did some work with the Insurance Council of Australia to put together a roadmap for net zero for insurers, which was really interesting. And we also, after the bushfires, worked with the Mindaroo Foundation and around 70 of their partner organisations from across the public and private sectors to actually put together a blueprint for Australia to be resilient, because we actually spend billions and billions of dollars on recovering from these really severe weather events. But if we put even a fraction of that amount into building preparedness and resilience to those, we'd all be much better off. So that's what that blueprint was all about.
Yeah. And how does the work you're doing at Pollination differ from the work you were doing at BCG?
Well, the great thing about Pollination is now I get to spend like 100% of my time working on these kinds of questions. And Pollination does a whole range of different things, which I can tell you a little bit more about Pollination if that's helpful. But I guess some examples of the sorts of things that I'm doing at Pollination. So one of my big clients is actually based in Malaysia, and they have a net zero strategy for decarbonisation, and they have a nature strategy. And really at the intersection of those two things is what we call nature-based solutions. Nature-based solutions are really large-scale projects that help protect and restore nature. And by doing that, they also sequester carbon. So you can generate carbon credits for those as well. And so this client wanted to think about how do they participate in the nature-based solutions market. And so we helped them prepare a strategy for that. And now we're actually supporting the implementation of that as well. So that's one example. We've recently done some work for a bank who was looking at different technologies to actually measure carbon. So we did a global scan and particularly focused on the Australia, New Zealand region as well, looking at different technologies and how they might be relevant to that, to the bank. And we were also doing some work with a retailer who was doing some early stage thinking about a digital platform that could actually help support decarbonisation of their supply chain. So how could they work with and incentivise their suppliers to undertake activities to help them reduce greenhouse gas emissions?
Mm. And as so I
it's
mentioned,
kind of not just similar work, but just a little bit of different context.
And focused on what you enjoy doing all of the time.
That's right.
And as I mentioned, we get constant requests from consultants interested in working in ESG, sustainability, but a lot of the time they have very little actual experience in the space. And the clients that we have that are asking for this experience, they want actual live experience. So if someone was looking to get into this space, keen to work in the ESG space, what type of experience should they try and gain while they're in consulting?
Yeah, I think there's lots of different ways to think about that, and it kind of depends what sort of role you're after. But I think the first thing is to see if you can try and do relevant work within your own consulting environment. But then other things that you can do to pursue it, there are a lot of people who are working with startups and mentoring startups, and there are an awful lot of startups in the climate and nature space. So that's one avenue that you could go down to. There are a lot of courses around, whether they're short courses or full kind of master degree courses as well. There's volunteering that you can do with for-profits, not-for-profit organizations. And I had one other idea, which is escaping me right now.
We'll probably come back to you, but it's an interesting idea. We had one candidate actually so passionate about getting into this space, but couldn't get a look in because didn't have experience. So they actually left consulting and have been volunteering, and it has, you know, saved up so that they can have allow themselves 6 months to do volunteer work to get it under their belt. So it's on their resume. So then they could be hired as a contract consultant for a while, get a few more projects, and then obviously look at, you know, what's possible. But what do you think is possible for someone moving out of consulting into an industry role? What types of opportunities do you see might be possible in sort of corporates?
Yeah. So I had coffee just the other day, actually, with a lady who'd been really senior in one of the big consulting firms, and she really wanted to work in sustainability. And she had some experience, but not really deep experience. And so the way that she was thinking about it is, where can I apply my strategy and transformation skills to an organization that is undergoing a transformation and is doing interesting things in the decarbonization agenda? So she's joined an infrastructure company that's being really innovative around energy. And I think that's a really great way to think about it, because as a consultant, you bring fantastic skills that are really critical to actually creating change, sort of driving change, defining what that is and implementing it. And so I think that's a really great avenue to go down. There are a lot of consultants who are going down the, like I said, the startup VC route as well. A friend of mine was at Oliver Wyman in FinTech. He then made the move to Bright, which is a solar financing platform, and is now doing other things in this space. And so I think it's thinking about what skills do I bring and how can that be applied. It's probably not going to be a sustainability role, but how can I apply that in a role that gives me exposure to the sustainability agenda?
And do you see big head of sustainability roles or something like that in corporates? Do you see many of those happening? Because I see sometimes they are sort of created and then disbanded, like people move away from them. What are you seeing?
So there have been sustainability roles in corporates, honestly, for decades now. I think the difference is that traditionally that's been hidden away somewhere in the organization, whereas now that's being elevated to ideally on the executive team, or if not one layer down. And so there's definitely a shift in the types of profiles of people that are filling those roles. And I think a little bit of a gap sometimes, honestly, in terms of people that have the really deep technical expertise and the people who are in senior leadership roles who understand the imperative to change, but actually there's a little bit of a need to connect the technical with the commercial. And I think that's where the consulting skill set is actually hugely valuable. I think the market hasn't quite worked out what that role might be defined as, but I think sometimes that's where the strategy role is a good way in, because you actually get exposure across the business. And at the end of the day, every organization has to embed sustainability into that strategy agenda.
And how are Australian companies, are they moving the dial compared to the rest of the world in this space?
I think that's a very interesting question. So I was at an AICD event where Mike Cannon-Brookes was speaking a couple of weeks ago, and he quoted a statistic that Australia is in the top three exporters of fossil fuels in the world, behind only Russia and Saudi Arabia. We also have the highest rate of mammalian extinction in the world, and we're the only developed economy to be listed as a deforestation hotspot. So I think it's probably true to say we're turning the dial in the wrong direction at a macro level. And as I said before, definitely regulation in Australia compared to somewhere like Europe is quite a long way behind. I guess the flip side to that is there is reason to be hopeful. You know, we're blessed with amazing natural resources. We operate in a global capital market where investors actually are demanding change and accelerated change from particularly larger companies. And so there are a lot of great things that are happening in corporate Australia.
What countries are doing the best, do you think? If someone wanted to really gain experience in a different country, what countries are sort of shining star examples?
Yeah, every region has a little bit of a different dynamic. So Europe has historically been leading on particularly climate topics, and Certainly there are people that we work, well, Pollination has an office in Europe, and we also have people in Australia who've come back from Europe, and they definitely have incredible experience in particularly in decarbonisation. The Asian market, I think, is where we're going to see unbelievable growth and change over the next decade. There's just so much happening in those economies in general, but also they have incredibly talented and educated people, but they also have incredible natural resource bases. So I think that's going to be a very interesting region to be part of over the next couple of years. And the US, obviously, with the change in government, are really driving investment into renewable energy and other technology related to decarbonisation. And the US market is obviously enormous with lots of opportunities. So I think every part of the world has different dynamics and there's interesting things happening everywhere.
And obviously this is a massive passion area for you. So I'm really keen to understand what topics really get you excited the most.
So I guess there are two things. One of the things at Pollination that I've just had the great privilege of being part of is just a really progressive nature agenda. You know, nature covers everything around us, basically, and it's moving very quickly, following in the same footsteps as what's happened on climate, but nature's just moving much, much faster. And I feel like most Australians just have an innate connection to nature, and corporates are really, really seriously thinking about what does this mean for me and my business and what are the opportunities that I have in this space. So that's one thing that I'm really excited about. I'm also really excited, you know, having a background in finance and sustainability, I'm really interested in some things that are happening in the space of using digital finance. So that's things like tokenization and blockchain to create much more efficient markets for driving investment into things that create both financial return as well as impact. So that's the other thing that I'm really excited about.
And who do you consider or who do you follow as a thought leader in this space? Who should people be following if they're passionate about this area?
So my 12-year-old would say Greta Thunberg. Honestly, there are so many incredible people, Annika. But I would have to say one of the reasons actually that I joined Pollination, one of the founders of Pollination is Martijn Wilder, who's been really pushing this climate agenda a long, long time before it was fashionable. And he's just done incredible things, both in Australia as well as globally,
yeah,
to really help accelerate action.
Excellent. And that probably leads well on to my next question, which I ask all guests around a read, watch or listen to recommendation. So book, podcast, TED Talk, that type of thing. What can you point to, Indy?
So on the work front, there's this great podcast that I should have known about before, but I only heard about a few weeks ago called Outrage and Optimism. And it's hosted by some of the key people who helped negotiate the Paris Agreement on climate change, which was a really fundamental agreement. And so they have guests talking about, I guess, the topics behind the headlines. So for anyone that's really interested in understanding more about climate change in general, it's a really great way to get some insights into some of the topics related to that. But I actually try not to listen to too many and read too many work-related things outside of work. So I'm also very excited because there's this fantastic series called Before the Coffee Gets Cold, which is by a Japanese author. And it's a series of short stories about a little cafe in Tokyo where people go, and if they follow a certain set of rules, they can travel backwards or forwards in time to see family and friends. And so they're really beautifully written, really quirky stories and really thought-provoking. So the fourth book in that series has just come out, so I'm looking forward to reading that too.
Oh, I love that, when a book you've been waiting for comes out. But so I'll put those in the footnotes of the podcast. Thank you for that. And I was hoping, given your extensive background in strategy and consulting and this space, you might be able to offer some final words of wisdom to the more junior consulting community on how they should be thinking about their careers.
Yeah, so, you know, there's two types of people. There are people that plan their careers and there are people that are a bit more opportunistic, and I'm definitely not a planner. So I guess my advice is do your job well. Opportunities will always present themselves. And I think be open-minded about where those opportunities might take you, because there will probably be in unexpected ways, but you'll always learn amazing things from the experience. And if they just talk to people in the sort of roles that they're interested in, I think you can get some really interesting insights from that, because there's no one pathway and it's really just about getting a foot in the door. And also, life is really short, so make sure that you enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah, and listen to your 12-year-old.
And listen to your 12-year-old. Exactly.
Excellent, Wendy. Well, thank you so much for joining me. And I'll put any of those links in the footnotes. But thank you so much.
Excellent. Pleasure.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Strategy Bites podcast, bringing strategy career advice to the market. But please do remember that first and foremost, Oaktree Talent is a specialist strategy and transformation recruitment agency. So if you're a top tier consultant or want to hire excellent strategy capability, please get in touch.